Rainmaker FM.
Three, two.
And now, for members only, I'm your host, Sean Jackson.
Competition is something we all face in the online world, and it can be a challenge. Whether it is a new membership site offering similar features and content, or just trying to get someone's time and attention to notice what we have. And one industry that faces extreme competition is the porn business. And make no mistake, what once was a highly profitable business category now struggles to make razor-thin margins in a hyper-competitive landscape, compounded with the fact that all the major search and social sites are actively trying to purge their content from their systems. But I think the struggles of this industry can teach us something about how to stand out. And no, I am not talking about their content. At a fundamental level, we can look to the ways that they are meeting their competitive challenges and use those tactics as a framework to help us find ways to profit and thrive against our competitors. On a personal note, my exposure to the porn industry as a business model occurred back in the early 1990s when I was a BBS operator of a major bulletin board system for a Fortune 100 company. You see, prior to the commercialization of the World Wide Web, BBS systems were the leading edge of online information at a global scale. And I took great pride in bringing these BBS tools to large corporations, providing centralized communication systems for their employees in ways no traditional tools could do. And as I became more involved with the BBS community, I was startled to learn how many of my peers had created BBS systems for porn. And trust me, these were not the stereotypical sleazy porn operators you would imagine. In almost every case, these were highly technically proficient and astute business people that looked and acted no different than the people I had gone to college with. And why did they put up these sites? Simple. They were financially lucrative. So I gave serious thought to setting up a site. For several months, I spent time researching and talking with other BBS operators about the online porn industry, trying to better understand the dynamics and challenges they faced. After my research, I had nearly convinced myself that setting up a porn site would be worth doing. However, I needed a second opinion. So I asked my girlfriend at the time, who eventually became my wife of 18 years, what she thought. I laid out the business case, trying my best to avoid being too explicit in the details of the content. And I concluded my presentation with a simple question. What do you think? A long pause ensued, with the silence broken by her response. Are you fucking kidding me? In this episode of Members Only, Jessica Frick and I take a broad view of the online pornography industry, gleaning from that environment the tactics you can use to meet the competitive challenges you may face. And don't worry, we will not be providing commentary on the content. Instead, we take an analytical approach to finding interesting ideas that you can use, with enough double entendres to make this a fascinating episode. So stay tuned. Welcome to Members Only, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the interesting Jessica Frick. Jessica, how the frick are you today?
I am great. How the Jackson are you?
I am well. I am always well. I want to share with you a story I recently read on Wired magazine. And it got me thinking about the show, and I'm going to try to connect the dots, so bear with me, okay? So I was reading Wired, and they had this fascinating story about the modern porn industry. Now, I know everybody on your phone right now is about to turn off the show. Don't do that, because we're not going to talk about porn, the content. We're going to talk about porn as a business model. But it was fascinating because way back in the day, Jess, and I know you're familiar with this, is that porn used to be highly lucrative. I mean, just a ton of money was being made. And the article pointed out that it has gotten so competitive that all those preconceptions that you have about the porn industry really need to be thrown out the window, because competition has completely changed the way that they do things online, how they make money online. I mean, even the way that the app stores treat them, which basically is to bar them, even search engines who don't want to put their stuff on there. What do you think of this? I mean, just in general, I mean, it's kind of a fascinating topic, don't you think?
Absolutely. I know that that's actually true for us with Synthesis web hosting. We don't allow pornographic websites.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had to have discussions. Well, is that pornographic? It kind of seems like on the line. And
oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've had to deal with this. And as a company, we said, no, we're not going to do this. And we put it into our terms of service. But I want to go away from the content per se, because I think at the industry and I look at the model of the industry, and there's some things in there that I think really have applicability to people who run membership sites. And here's why. Because if you've got a membership site, I guarantee you there are thousands of other competing sites out there, right? You know, it doesn't matter the topic. There's going to be competition. And there's ways to stand out from the competition. But I really wanted to look at the model when you're in a fiercely competitive space, right? What is the model that you can use when you're competing on, you know, the same content that everybody else has, right? Or you're sitting there and you're just trying to struggle to put your content and get people's attention, right? Because I mean, if you think about it, the porn industry suffers a lot from that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you figure just like with everything, internet changed the way that distribution channels work. Just like, you know, if you wanted to write a book back when you had to get a publisher and use their distributor and hopefully they help market it. And, you know, with adult entertainment, pretty much anybody can record a video and upload it online and do what they will with it.
Yeah.
That barrier to entry is much lower. And so the industry or the number of people contributing to the industry has increased significantly. But I think you could say the same thing about, you know, educating people on running their business.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when Teaching Cells came out, there really weren't as many people doing stuff like that as there are now.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in a crowded space, you have to stand out.
Yeah, because you have to get people's attention, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you're trying to figure out what can you do to get their attention. Because there was something else that I saw a documentary about the porn business. And by the way, I don't spend all my time researching the porn industry. These are very happenstance articles and shows.
But there was whatever you say, Sean.
Yeah, that's what I tell my wife. But I just
said it's for work, honey.
It's for work. But it was fascinating, this documentary I saw on TV. It was a 1-hour documentary, and it was talking about how these modern porn producers are competing in this very fierce environment now. And there was something that was said on that too, which is, and this kid who mentioned it was very savvy, and he said, there is a difference between the consumer of the content and buyers of content. And that really triggered this whole thought process for today's show. Because at the end of the day, there is going to be free content out there in mass that is going to be drawing attention away from your membership site. So how do we deal with that competition? How do we sit there and stand out? What are the revenue monetization ideas that can really help you build a profitable business, knowing that the barrier to entry is zero when it comes to somebody just throwing up a site, putting something out there and competing with you?
And it brings up that interesting thing that we always talk about. You know, you've got to give away some of your best stuff for free to get them to pay up.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something the porn industry, or from what I've heard anyway,
yeah, right.
That's something that they do. It's the only way that you can get people to open up their wallets is to see what they're buying.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go ahead and start using this as a topic to continue on for today's show, because I want to start thinking through this, because you bring up a good point about joint ventures, big site aggregators. Certainly in the porn space, they're called tube sites, apparently, and this is where they aggregate all this video. And so let's talk about that, because that, I think, is one part of their business framework that, you know, traditional consumer commercial sites can take advantage of. And what I mean by that is going out there and syndicating your content. What do you think about that, Jess? I mean, just as a model, because that's essentially what the porn guys are doing, right? Is they're syndicating their content, hoping to drive back. So is that the first lesson we can kind of take from that industry, is that nowadays with so much content, we have to start syndicating more?
I think so. I mean, I think it's basically the reason people use social media to, you know, share things that they've published on, you know, back when it was Blogger. You could actually have Blogger be your discovery engine, you know, similarly with Facebook or, you know, Medium even. Mm-hmm. I think that there is value in putting yourself in a discoverable place and offering free stuff that leads to paid stuff later.
Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think that's a big part of the strategy is to start thinking about your content in ways that you can syndicate it out there. Because the goal of all syndicated content, whether you're putting it on social media sites, in a search engine, or on someone else's site, is to draw them back to your site, right? To give them a different experience, but to use that as a way to draw back. So let's talk about some syndication strategies, because I love the idea of content syndication. Obviously, you mentioned Medium, which is really easy, right? And obviously LinkedIn Pulse, which I have a lot of experience with, you know, just taking existing content, repurposing it, and putting it on these free platforms. That's a pretty easy way to do content syndication. But what's another way, Jess, that we could do content syndication with a little bit more meaning to it, and specifically around this idea of joint venturing, et cetera?
Email.
What do you mean?
Well, if you are partnering with somebody, you could do a cross promotion situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also guest posting.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, when you guest post on somebody's site, perhaps it's not just their site, but they email it to people as well to talk about it. And, you know, on there, you get that backlink to your site. And hopefully you're talking about something relevant to what you're promoting on your site.
Yeah, but everybody's doing guest posting nowadays. I mean, seriously, everybody. I mean, you know how many emails I get? I'm the CFO of the company, for goodness sake. And they're like, hey, we ran into your site, copyblogger.com, and we have this article. I think that spamish approach to joint venturing is off. So, but I will say, I think it can work. And here's how I think it can work, Jess, because I agree with you. There's huge benefit. I mean, if you can get a post, a guest post, or just syndicate some of your stuff over to another site, there is going to be a tangible benefit. So, but let me walk back on a strategy to do that, because the free stuff anyone can do. Let's talk about stuff that's a little harder. I think that one of the best ways to go out and get your content syndicated on relevant sites is to actually have a chance to meet the owner of that site, okay? Because I think in this online space, it's so easy to just throw off an email saying, hey, I'm a fan and I want to, you know, post on your site. And they get thousands of those a day. Go in and actually taking the time to meet some of these people, right? It's kind of amazing, because a lot of these people are, you know, like, oh, they actually want to meet with me. And I think that may be the best strategy of all, going to conferences where blog site owners are going to be at, going and participating in their local meetups or whatever communities they have. I mean, really doing your homework and research, because it takes more time. But at the end of the day, a blog post, a syndicated post or a guest post on a big site could draw so much more traffic to your site than just the generic, oh, let me just throw this out and hopefully somebody will pick this up and I don't really care. What do you think?
I'm trying really hard not to transfer that back to the porn example.
But, <yeah. laughs>
just show up, perhaps in a pizza delivery guy outfit.
Right.
No. Maybe somebody will pick it up. I think that there's a lot of value in that, but I think you got to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, this is a promotion where you're going to be giving away some of your best stuff for free.
Yeah.
You, in order to maintain your value, you can't be giving it away for free everywhere, because now it's not even a commodity. It's just noise.
Right.
So I think you have to be very selective, going back to what we always talk about with that scarcity thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, make it really mean something.
Yeah, I think so too.
You give away that small piece. And, you know, to use the example, I think that one thing the porn industry does, well, some of the more successful sites that I read about, they are very choosy about where they allow their stuff to be posted.
Yeah.
And the way that they work out their agreements, they actually have ads placed throughout the rest of that site. If mm-hmm. you watch one of their videos, you are going to see those ads elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think there are a lot of very smart plays that can be made.
Yeah, but I think that's what it comes down to, is finding the smart plays. Don't try to sit there and spam everybody in your ecosystem and saying, hey, let me guest post or let me put this piece of content on your site. Be very selective and be very targeted and do your homework, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And, you know, don't use step one just to get to step two. Know what step five is before
right.
you take step one.
Right. No. All right. So that's one element of their business world that we could certainly use and have used. And many people have done it successfully. And certainly we've seen, you know, entire companies launch off of copyblogger.com from a guest post. Right. So, I mean, it is obviously worth the time to do. And that's something that we can learn from that industry. The second thing, though, that I think really helps you stand out is how you monetize that audience that's coming through. Because again, what really struck me is the difference between a content consumer versus a content buyer. Okay.
Oh yeah. There are people and they're like, I've signed up for all of your stuff. And then you look and you're like, yeah, you've signed up for everything free. Right. You never actually bought anything.
Exactly. And I think that's where, again, running a membership site, I almost believe that the membership site component becomes something that you have to be very savvy in how you think of the monetization of it. So let's go through some things, again, using the porn industry as a reference point, some of the things that they are doing that could apply to our more traditional commercial operation. Number one, video. I mean, obviously, the porn industry has been big in video forever, but I also have noticed that really savvy operators and membership sites are doing a lot more video work, whether it be webinars, one-on-one conversations with people, et cetera. So what do you think of video in the mix of a membership site and charging for it, actually, to charge for the video? Because I think there's huge value in it. So why give away video when you could charge for the video of the webinar, of the interview, of whatever that really exclusive thing is? What do you think of that?
Well, I think that those are actually different categories, you know, pre-recorded video versus interactive. I'm thinking of, like, you know, the pre-recorded entertainment videos versus the webcam girls.
Right.
You know, if you want a subscription to this girl's webcam and, you know, you can type her and tell her what to do or whatever, that's going to cost you more than just watching a video.
Yeah.
And similarly, webinars or anything where they can interact with you and ask you questions, that needs to cost a lot more. But the pre-recorded videos, you know, another thing that the porn industry does that I find very interesting is the way that they price them. You can buy them a la carte, but then the monthly subscription works out to where, you know, if you watch two videos, you're better off just buying the membership.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a great point, because the more interactive it is, the more intimate it is, then you should definitely charge more versus the canned things that you put out there that, you know, have a different, really an evergreen life to them that anyone can consume up. And then doing your pricing so that, again, that buyer, it makes more sense for the buyer to go ahead and buy, because the individual a la carte pricing would be very expensive. So I definitely get that.
Yeah. And really, how much more does it cost you to deliver someone six on-demand videos than it does to deliver one?
Right.
You know, wouldn't you rather they buy that monthly membership and, you know, maybe 1 month they, you know, watch six and the next month they watch two?
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
Charge accordingly. You want to lock them in.
Right.
But, you know, the a la carte approach also works because, hey, money is money.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking about people who sell ebooks as opposed to, you know, including the ebook as part of a larger membership package. You could buy that one book a la carte. And now technically you're it's still a membership site because you have a login where you can go and get that ebook over and over again if you wanted. But you're not really part of a membership site because there's nothing beyond that one thing for you.
Yeah. And I definitely think, you know, again, it kind of goes to the fact that a successful membership site not only has a community, but it also has an intimacy to that community, right? That there's constant engagement, constantly feeling like somebody is there concerned about my needs and filling those needs, you know, on a regular basis. And so I think
that's member versus customer.
Right, exactly. Member versus a customer. That's a great point, is that, you know, we need to have for a successful membership site, not only the community that shares a like-minded interest, but also to come in and have a certain intimacy in there and charging more for more intimate access, right? Because again, you know, going to someone and taking their time away from them is probably the most expensive thing that any membership site is offering, right? If I have a one-on-one with you, that's hugely expensive compared to my time of 1 hour that I can contribute to thousands or tens of thousands. The other thing that I found fascinating in the porn industry as it's matured is because there is very low barriers to entry, then the other thing that I've noticed is how niche that industry is becoming, right? I mean, really on the extremes of, you know, very, very specific types of people who are compelled to watch very unique and really just not only, I wouldn't even say it's even close to mainstream. I mean, just very unique and niche. And that was also interesting because if you think about your competitive space, and we've said this before on the show, limitations are strengths, right? Maybe what your site has to become is really, really niche. I mean, just to a point where it's that you're even looking at the numbers going, could there even be this many people interested in this really niche idea? That's something else that is really in a competitive space people are having to do more of to be successful is to run to the niches.
Absolutely. And in some cases, the weirder, the better.
Yeah, I certainly. And I think that's the other thing, too, because one of the most powerful marketing lines out there is you are not alone. Right?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
You know, once you realize that there are other people out there that share a similar interest to you, then there is a strength in numbers that comes from that. And I think that, again, as I've always said, even if you're one in a million, that means there's 7,000 people just like you, right? So I think, you know, don't be afraid to go to the extreme niche, to that point in your enterprise, in your commercial effort, where it's so nuanced that it's a limited amount of people that will find value in it. Because the less people there are, sometimes the more you can charge, because where else are they going to go? Make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
So I think those are some of the other aspects of the porn industry as it's kind of been evolving to look at for your membership site. You know, looking at this idea of really strategic content syndication, looking at this idea of incorporating video in, looking at this idea of really going to the niche in extreme niches, right? So that you really do stand out. And I think one of the other fascinating things to look at and consider as part of your membership site is training. Specifically learning management courses. Okay. Now bear with me. One of the ways that a lot of the porn industry makes a lot of money is in the sale of goods that enhance the porn experience. Right. That's a very broad way
well
of saying,
put,
yeah, well, I'm trying to be very, very respectful of our audience. But I think that's also because if you think about it, you know, certainly the idea of training, how to do something better, giving people the tools to do something better is another way the porn industry has really been able to carve out a better profit margin. And I think we can take that too for our membership site.
Absolutely. You know, you don't make money off the movie. The money is made off of the merchandising.
That's right. And I think merchandising comes to mind, certainly when we think of ebooks and all the peripheral things. But I also think that merchandising and training in particular, setting up a training course is something that, again, we have seen obviously a lot of people doing. But at the same token, it is because you can still make good money doing that by creating up a very unique and niche training course that appeals to a very specific type of audience, right? Because that to me seems like, wow, there's profit margins on training are incredibly high. And if you've done a good job of using syndication, drawing them in, using the membership site maybe as a free way to build a sense of community and intimacy, and then driving people to that paid learning program, maybe another way that we can make more money with our membership site without just trying to charge a monthly subscription. What do you think, Jess?
I think you have to always be on the lookout for your members to be telling you what else they need in addition to what you're giving them.
Mm-hmm.
Training being one of them. But, you know, if the porn industry has taught us anything, it's evolve or die.
Right. That's true. I mean, there's no question. I mean, this is something that we all suffer from is that as we figure something out, there's a new wave that's coming through, right? And it's a new wave that is sitting there saying, okay, we have something new that the audience wants. They are communicating that to us, hopefully because of our engagement with them. And again, always be on the lookout to add that additional extra value. But really,
one audience might want the paper magazine. Another one just wants the website.
That's right. And that's another good point too, because I mean, that's another way to look at those ancillary things too, because maybe what you do send people is an exclusive email with a PDF file that is only unique to them or to their interest that they have to pay for. Again, looking at these little fringe, what we would consider fringe things, looking at these little fringe components that add value to that overall community and charging accordingly for the more intimate nature of that communication. I also think that has huge value and something, again, that we can learn from the porn industry, because at the end of the day, their competition is obviously fierce. They struggle to get people to come to their site and to monetize them. And understanding that the more intimate connection you have with your audience, the better it is for them when you give them intimate products, then I think that actually matters. I think that's where the future in any competitive space is, having a much more intimate engagement with your audience and giving them things that, quite frankly, are so unique and hard to get a hold of. At the end of the day, maybe that's where you stand out and make money in a hyper-competitive space. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's always less costly, both financially and, you know, time-wise, to keep a customer than it is to get a new one.
Right.
And so those little things that you do to enhance the intimacy and keep them feeling the value, mm-hmm, pays off in the long run. Because, you know, going back to the industry, you know, if you're selling that guy the a la carte video or the membership, you want to make sure he doesn't cancel.
Right. Right. And I think that's always going to be just trying to get a more intimate connection to them, giving them something of more value, that leading them on, as we talk a lot about, the journey, right? Taking them to a new place, taking them to a new point of satisfaction. Boy, you know, all the double entendres that come from having the porn,
I can't
context.
Even handle it. I had to cover my mouth so it wasn't on the mic a couple of this.
Well, you know, but I think it again, you know, this is what the show is about, folks, is that we're trying to look at things that you may not normally think of and bring them, like, to light and take the courage to discuss them. So
members only.
Members only. Exactly. So, you know, this was a fascinating.
Sorry, Dad.
This was a fascinating episode. Honey, that's why I'm watching porn. I need it for the show. It's for research.
It's work.
You know, I think at the end of the day, any astute business person should be looking at all sorts of business models and realizing that there's a universality to the challenges that we all face in running an online community, right? And we should not be afraid to kind of go outside of our immediate area and try to learn more from others. Even if that content may be repulsive, I think at the end of the day, the way that they do things is worth considering, if nothing else, than to find that one unique thing that you could apply to your business. So, Jessica, parting thoughts for this interesting episode of Double Entendres?
I need to go clear my cookies.
Well, that's a good point. So, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Well,
yeah.
That'll be it.
Delete history.
Delete history and clear cookies. Well, that'll be it for this episode of Members Only, everyone. And we will catch you next time.